Our main scripture this morning is going to be 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. We're going to take an exposition from it. We're going to draw out some points from it, so I hope you'll do that if you're taking notes. We're also going to take apart from the end of 2 Peter chapter 3 that ties in with this passage here, and I think you're going to see that very clearly as we move into our text. So, every profitable trade needs training. And some of us have a lot of training in our field, and there might be something you think, I need more training. I often feel that way. I was like, I need another degree and another one sometimes. And when I'm learning, I see the need to grow. And there are other things that I wish that I could learn. I want to, you know, be able to work more with my hands. I'd like to learn some in carpentry. I'd like to have training in certain areas like that. And we recognize that. We recognize that we need to grow in our professions, that we need to, as we're moving along, we need that further help, further education that goes along with that. We're always constantly learning on that. And sometimes our education will just launch us to where we're always constantly, we know how to study in that field and to take in information. But you think about that. Things that you want to improve in, oftentimes you're going to either go on the internet, maybe go on YouTube and look up how to do this, or maybe you buy a book on it, maybe one of those Book for Dummies or whatever, you know, how to use the computer, or there's even a book, I think, for dummies, so how to read your Bible, things like that. So we recognize the need for training and the need for growth in all parts of our life. And I hope that we as Christians recognize what the Bible says about us needing to constantly be growing. And so I encourage you this morning that we evaluate ourselves, that we look at ourselves and see that we are growing as Christians. And 2 Peter is an excellent text to help us with that. So this is the last verse of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And it's going to essentially be Peter's final words. And what we read in 2 Peter is, from the context of reading in history and what we've been delivered in traditional history that Peter's gone through, he's in Rome. And this is a time about AD 65 to 67. The persecution of Nero would be taking place and coming into effect. And Peter here is actually looking forward and saying, I'm about to die. He knows that his end has come. And so when we're looking at 2 Peter, we're looking at Peter's last words to the church in general and encouraging them. This is how he finishes his last general epistle to all Christians. He says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. What did Peter want to pass on to the Christians throughout the world before his death? What would he leave? What were his final words? His final words are that you grow, that you mature, that you don't stop doing this. So we're going to look at this passage here and look a little bit at the verses around it, why Peter is saying what he's saying, a little bit more in depth. And then we're going to get instruction from 2 Peter chapter 1 on how to grow. But one thing is very clear just from reading that scripture, what does God want from us? You can't say you get to a certain point in your Christian life and say, I'm retired. I've heard Christians say that. Well, I retired in my field. Now I'm retiring as a Christian. And they'll say, well, I'll still be in the assembly, but I'm retiring in the sense of the work that I used to do around the church. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to teach in Bible class anymore. I'm not going to be engaged in this or that or being a part of it. And I've heard that. I've heard it being spoken among our own brethren. I've gotten to the point in my life where I'm retired from that. The Bible doesn't give us that final breaking point where we stop maturing and stop growing. God wants us and expects Christians to grow. And there is a right way to grow, the Bible tells us. And there's a lot of things we see in application to that throughout the Scriptures, that we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that we think more of who He is and who God is, and the more that we know them, the more that when we're growing in our faith, we're also growing in communion to God, closeness to Him. The Bible says if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you, James chapter 4. And I believe that, and I know that. And sometimes I hear Christians saying, I feel so distant from God. I don't know where He is or why He's not a part of my life. And what the Scriptures would say is draw near to Him, or what Christ would say, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me. I'll give you peace. I'll give you what you need. And I say, as a Christian, that is true. I want us to look at growth as far as reading our Bible. We can gauge in different ways on how we're growing. How much do I pray? Where is my mind and my heart during worship, which we've discussed thoroughly this month? But we want to look at this right now. Growth is reading. So you might say, well, throughout the week, I might have an app on my phone and some scriptures pop up, and maybe I keep my Bible somewhere in my house, and I go over and I read a passage or two from my favorite text. And maybe in the assembly on Sunday morning, I hear some scripture, and I look them up and I read them, maybe on Wednesday night. Now, let's say that during the week, you collect about 20 different scriptures you're taking in about a chapter. And I want you to look at that as can compare to that here it is, reading 20 verses a week over the course of a year. If that's a chapter a week, you've got 52 chapters you've read. That's not bad. You're taking in God's Word. But to increase that, I have some of my brethren who say, you got to read the whole Bible every year. You know, I have some preacher friends, that's what they're about. And that entails reading about 23 chapters of the Bible a week. That's a lot of reading that they take in. And I respect them for doing that. I've done that. And if you've ever tried it before, some of us probably get to Leviticus and then suddenly slow down or stop, or you stop reading. I would say most of the time when I try to read throughout the year, I don't finish it. I have to pick it up the next year and finish it off. And if you're like that, then we're like and similar in that area. But what I do find a lot easier is just to read five chapters a week. And maybe I'm cheating here on my last example here on the screen. But if I'm reading five chapters a week and I'm sharing that with four other people who are studying it with me and praying with me and learning to quote scripture with me, I think that the growth there is exponential. I have other people who can hold me accountable. In fact, they don't have to even say anything. When we gather together in our men's fellowship, none of the men there, we don't go down a checklist and say, okay, who read all five chapters this week? Or who memorized the scripture? There's not really a checklist. There's a natural accountability there when you're studying with somebody else. Rachel and I are also doing the same study together. As we're reading through the New Testament, I put some of the reading sheets out there where you can pick up with us and join in. Whether you want to start from the beginning, or I'll tell you right where we are right now, and that we begin to do this. And if you read those five chapters a week, and if you go through the New Testament, you'll read the whole New Testament in a year. It's going to take you another 3 years on that same path to read also the Old Testament. But I want you to just think about it as far as you're reading this morning and evaluate yourself. Where am I here? Am I kind of on the one chapter a week, 20 verses a week individual? Or am I somewhere in between, somewhere else on this? Maybe I have a different kind of reading that I'm taking in Scripture. And I realize you might be reading other books. You may be, if you're like me, you might listen to things on podcasts or on the radio and take in other passages as well. But I encourage you this morning to be thinking about where you are and growing as a Christian. How much is the average Christian growing in knowledge? And I wonder about this. And I think the average Christian, if we back up right there, is probably the 20 verses a week. It's probably the average Christian. But I think as we look at this, some people, when I mentioned read five chapters a week, I have someone in my family who I've been encouraging to become a Christian for a long time, who I've been talking to and encouraging him and his family to read Scripture. And I was able to send Bibles to him, and I'm very happy to do that. But I think when I told him, you need to read five chapters a week, he seemed intimidated by it. I was like, well, if you compare it to the 23 chapters a week, it's much easier. And I think he was also intimidated because initially he was reading in the King James translation. And if you don't know Old English, that's going to be a little bit harder. And for someone who's not exposed to Christianity, he needed a better translation. But where are you? When we think about the average Christian, or where do we think about the Christians who are leaders and the examples within the church and what they're reading and how they're growing in knowledge and how they got there in the first place, think about that. And I promise you, you will grow in your spiritual life, you'll grow and closer to God if you will commit to reading more, and you will pray more, and you will take in more Scripture, and in manifest in your faith, in an act of faith, you're going to live it out, you're going to serve others, you're going to find and see those opportunities much more clear. You're going to be more bold. And here's another thing. If I'm just reading the Bible by myself, even if it's 23 chapters a week, but I'm not talking with somebody else about it, how able am I going to be to talk to someone who's never heard about God and never heard about the Scriptures or doesn't know much about God and Christ? I'm not very likely to do that. I'm not going to have the boldness to do that. But when I'm speaking and having discussion with other Christians, the Word is on my tongue and it's in my heart, and I'm going to be able to communicate it between my brethren, I'm more likely going to be able to communicate it and share it with others. So we need to be studying together. This is the importance of us being together as we are this morning and in further Bible study. Now, at this time, let's go to 2 Peter 3 again. We read verse 18, but let's give more of a basis. What's on Peter's mind as he's coming to the end of his life when he's thinking about the church and he's concerned about the church? He wants them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Why, Peter? Why? And he tells us, look here, verse 14 and following. He says, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these things, you're waiting for the blessings of God that he's mentioned in the beginning of the chapter. Since you're waiting for these things, he says, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. In other words, you need to be holy, and God makes you holy. Christ standing on our place makes us holy. He washes away our sins by his blood. And that atoning feature of his blood, and we'll talk about that more in another lesson. But look at verse 15 now. And he says, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. He's been patient with you. Now, if you back up in chapter 3 and verse 9, just before in here, he's saying he's patient and he doesn't want anybody to perish and he wants all people to come to repentance. And so Peter is saying, now count it the patience of the Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved Paul, here's Peter talking about Paul, Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. Paul is wisdom given to him by God. Look at verse 16. As he does in all of his letters, when he speaks in them of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. And so what's Peter concerned about? He says, I want you to know this God's Word. I want you to know Scripture. I want you to know it in a way and be diligent in studying in it so that you are not twisting it, that nothing is going to be distorted. And so that requires that you be diligent in studying and growing in God's and His knowledge and in His grace. Look at verse 17 and 18 again. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. And listen to what he says. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Beautiful scriptures. Very eloquent and very convicting on what Peter says there. And again, as a quick review, these are my observations as I read the text, what I'm hearing Peter say. Be diligent to be found without spot and blemish. You can only do that in Christ. You can have a life of peace. In fact, when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, we can have a life full of love and joy and peace and patience and all those fruits we read about there in Galatians chapter 5 if we're diligently growing in Christ. We see here again, God is patient with us to come to salvation. He wants us to be saved. God's given us His wisdom. An example of that was the Apostle Paul in Scripture for this purpose, for us to grow. He gives a warning here, but this is what Peter's concerned about, is that the ignorant will twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. He doesn't want that to happen. In fact, almost all 2 Peter is him warning them. Chapter 2 and the beginning of 3, don't go down this road. Listen to the apostles. Listen to the truth. Follow what they say. And then he says, take care not to be carried away with lawless people. Peter's final words. I'm not going to read this section right here, but if you have your Bible and you look in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, you read Peter saying, I'm looking toward the end of my life. The end has come. I don't want to make sure that you do not fall away. Our other passage, as far as growth, the question might be this morning, is how do I grow? What does it look like? I've already got the observations there before you, but I want to go on and look at this passage as well. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. This is what Peter says. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge. Notice what he's saying here. You have faith. You need to supplement and add to it. You can't just say, I believe. You've got to have an active faith, and an active, a real living faith is going to include this. He says, add to that, supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities, listen to this, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent, there's the word diligent again, to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Peter, again, looking at the end of his life, he's passing on what he wants to secure the church for us to stay growing and mature. And he says, this is what a productive faith looks like. It has these qualities there, that you're adding to your faith virtue and love and self-control. And as Christians, we think, okay, well, how do I do that? Well, he just said at the end of the chapter, look to the Scriptures. Look to what the apostles commanded. Have these qualities. If you say, I believe in God, but you don't have love, what kind of faith is that? It's lacking. He says, faith requires every effort that you supplement it. He says, those who don't have these qualities, they're nearsighted to blindness. Those who practice these qualities, he says, they'll never fall. They'll be fruitful. And I want that Christian life. They make their election sure that God, that they're chosen in Jesus Christ to be saved, and they have entrance into the eternal kingdom. And I think about these things, and I think about personally what things have changed us and helped us to grow more. And I think most of us in here would say, especially every mature Christian would say, there's certain points in my life when I heard something and it compelled me from the gospel that changed everything. It wasn't simply that I was believing now, but I took my faith seriously, and I began growing. And I remember when I was baptized, when I was 11 years old. I remember when I was 16, and it felt like I heard the gospel again through a different minister. And it took heart in me. I heard it come into my mind, and I heard the gospel is the death and resurrection of Christ, and I saw how repentance and baptism and living a new life was a part and partaking of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And if felt like I could, you know, gospel grabbed me from within my heart. And you could probably think of certain things in your life. Maybe when you have maybe hit bottom and you've turned to God and you hear the gospel again like you've never heard it before. Maybe that's maybe what we need to help us to be more productive and moving in this area and having these qualities. Now, throughout this lesson, I've been backing up. Before we finish this morning, I want to share with you just the two verses right before what we just read. Peter says, I want you to know this. On his death, he says this, his divine power, that's God's divine power, has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have everything you need. And you have it through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So it's by knowledge of Jesus Christ and of God. And then he talks about the three blessings that come from this knowledge. He says this, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. You may be holy now, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Now you have the promises of God, you have eternal life. You have the holiness and part of God's divine nature that is given to you, and now you're able to get away from the corruption and the sin in this world because you have the knowledge of God. And Peter says that's where you need to grow, and you need to build on your faith in this thing. And I encourage you this morning. Paul says here, he says, I want you to do what? Make every effort to grow. That's not a small thing. That's not something to say, well, Scott, I think I'll get back to that later. This is a now. This is something that I can say, well, I'm not making every effort. I need to make a change. I need others to pray for me, to encourage me, and help me to read and study God's Word. There are other passages of Scriptures that tell us about how we need to mature. I'm not going to get into a lot of details right here in Hebrews, but in Hebrews chapter 5, the writer instructs the Hebrew, those that he's talking to, these Hebrew Christians, that they need to change. He says, you should be mature by now. He says in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. And if you ever noticed that, you've ever gotten away from Bible study, you seem to start losing things. I hope that we don't do that, but he says here, you need to be taught again the basics. He says, therefore, leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. So the Scriptures teach us that every one of us in here is personally capable of growing to maturity, of growing in God's Word, studying and learning Scripture. As we finish, I encourage you, this might seem like a random comment right here, but I'm going to give you Scripture before we finish. Don't let the world choke you to death. Don't let the world choke you to death. When we become a Christian and the seed of the Word of God is planted in our heart and takes effect on us and we believe, we see this. Remember Jesus' parable of the sower. This is from that. Jesus says, as for what fell among the thorns, the seeds that fell among the thorns, those are those who hear, but as they go on their way, that is, they go on the rest of their life, they've heard the gospel, they are choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And I really believe this is why we don't mature. It says right here, for their fruit does not mature. That's why we don't grow. We allow these things to hinder us. And we may need to remove those things this morning. He says, as for that, in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And I encourage this morning, as you evaluate your life, that you see these things. Are you devoted to God? Are you devoted to the doctrine, to the fellowship, to the prayers, to the breaking of bread that the church was in the very beginning? Are you growing in your faith and maturity? And we read there in Ephesians chapter 4 that the church is there to equip you. You need help in that. We want to pray with you and encourage you. And then as we grow as Christians, we should be doing all these things, being devoted, we're growing. We also will be serving, using our gifts and abilities. And you can read more about that again in Romans chapter 12. Today, Christians should seek with every effort. Seek for spiritual training and growth. And I hope that we look at ourselves this morning and see the need for that. I know I see it myself, and as I tell the men on Saturday morning that we're able to study together, I need to grow, and I thank God you're here with me to help me to do that. This morning, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, the Bible says the gospel is the power of God to salvation. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the foundation and the basis by what we believe in, and by which we are saved. And the Bible says very, very clearly that I need to believe and confess that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And when I believe that and confess that, then there's going to be a change in me. I'm going to repent of my sins and I'm going to be baptized, as he says right there. Paul says, those who are baptized are buried with Christ. And it is God who raises them up, washing away all their sins. You can have all your sins washed away today. You can be pure and holy before God through baptism. I encourage you, give your life to God. Obey the gospel and take part in His power of salvation. If you need encouragement, you need prayers, we encourage you to come right now while we stand and while we sing.